1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannon with you until 3 o'clock today. And a very big day it is. The Taoiseach there describing today's news in the last hour as another twist in our COVID journey. And that news, of course, will be devastating to many people in the hospitality industry, in particular the announcement that the reopening of hospitality, indoor hospitality, indoor dining will be delayed again. No date now given for when that will happen. And when it will happen, it will be limited to those who are fully vaccinated or recovered from COVID-19 infection. Adrian Hoare, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Yeah, people might know you, Adrian, from the Boathouse Bar in Portumna.
Yeah, we're here on Brendan Street in Portumna on this glorious sunshine day.
I'd say you're not feeling very sunny right now, though, Adrian.
I'm not now, Katie, to be perfectly honest. I'm sitting here in the empty bar, away from the beer garden, looking at four boxes of new furniture that I was hoping to put together for next Monday, for inside. And again, you know, 5-6 days to go, the government hits us with this thunderbolt. It just seems to be common now. We're kind of getting very used to this now. As soon as we think we're opening, we're not opening. I've had this about 6 times now in the last 15 months. And it's starting now to get me, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine that it is a huge strain on your mental health, really, in terms of, you know, building yourself up to these reopenings and then the rug gets pulled from under you just at the last minute.
Yeah, because like now, I suppose I'm lucky. I had space to extend my beer garden. My capacity has gone from 40 to 120 with 1 metre apart and 6 people per table. I have a selected covered area. I'm being blessed for the last 3 weeks that it hasn't rained at the weekend. But like as soon as the nights start turning cold, the heater starts ramping up, the electricity starts ramping up. And then I've gone from 2 staff, myself and a full-time member staff, to 6 on a Saturday night. And they all have to be paid. And we'd say now with this crack in 2 weeks' time that you'll have to look for a fully vaccinated person to let them in. Like some of my staff won't even have their first vaccine. So am I going to let them go and try and hire people? And my first question then when I'm hiring them, are you vaccinated or are you not vaccinated? It's absolute craziness.
Do you accept, though, or do you appreciate the dilemma the government has found themselves in with this Delta variant? I mean, the Taoiseach saying today it's 55%. This is what the ECDC are telling them now. 55% more transmissible than the last more transmissible, the UK variant that did us such harm and damage in December.
Yeah, I do appreciate it. Katie, you're going to get variants. Like when the Delta variant is under control, there'll be another variant. Like we were told we're going to have to live with this, and the people of Ireland have lived with it. The publicans, all the businesses that were shut, they've lived with it for 15 months. We've basically done what we've been asked to do for the last 15 months. And to be perfectly honest, I can't see how long more people are going to, you know, businesses are going to put up with this, because I know the safety of customers is priority, no matter what. But it's like the government are kicking the can down the road to seeking to come up with a solution. Like, we don't know what's going to happen on the 19th of July. You know, the cases may still rise even with the pubs or the indoors hospitality.
Yeah, well, we don't even have that now. That was the speculation that we might be talking about reopening on the 19th of July. But, I mean, it was really noticeable there today. The Taoiseach didn't give any date for a possible moving ahead with this idea of reopening for vaccinated and people who have had the virus already.
Yeah, but that's fine, Katie. But on the 19th of July, you can fly to green list countries for your 2 weeks holidays. Come back if you have to get your PCR test and have the time of your life in other countries that are fully opened. Bars, restaurants, hotels, everything is fully opened in most countries in Europe.
Well, no, that's not exactly the case, to be fair, Adrian, because I was looking up the data on that. And in a lot of countries, there are restaurants open. They're open with reduced capacity, and they're also open with they're demanding to see a vaccination pass or a green, some kind of a pass to indicate that you've been vaccinated or have had the virus. So there is a very mixed bag out there across Europe in relation to how indoor hospitality is operating.
Yeah, and it is working very well for them now. But our, like in 2 weeks' time, will our government have that system in place in 2 weeks' time? to see, yeah, you know, can you scan a code or something on your vaccination certificate?
How would you feel about doing that, Adrian, just in terms of, you know, dealing with people's personal health information and that?
Katie, I wouldn't do it. I would not ask my customers for their personal information. I think it wouldn't be nice. Like, it's, you know,
if it was the only way you can fill your dining room, though.
I'd have to think about it. I would nearly take the loss. Just, it all depends. Like, I know, you know, if we say in Portumna here, we're a tourist town. We have absolutely brilliant amenities between the Forest Park, the Marina, Emerald Star down the road. We have, you know, we have boutique shops, we have coffee shops. We have everything in this town, and we have tourists. We have a lot of tourists. So if a family of tourists are coming in, mother and father and two kids, for instance, and I, you know, the two kids aren't vaccinated, am I going to turn them away? It's going to be very hard.
Yeah, well, I suppose we're going to have to find out more information about how they think this is going to work, because, of course, no child in the country is going to be vaccinated. So there may be a limit, a small number of children that may have had the vaccine or had the COVID virus already. But it's the big question there about family groups and what you do if some of them are vaccinated and others are not.
Yeah, it is going to be tough. So all we can do now is just we bide our time for the next 2 weeks and see what else comes up then in 2 weeks' time. Will there be another extension to the lockdown for the indoor dining? It's going to be interesting 2 weeks, I think.
Did you think, like this summer people are saying, and I've been hearing people in your own in positions like yourself, Adrian, saying, you know, the summer, 2 weeks in the summer is, you know, 5 or 6 weeks at another time of year. Like, is this summer half gone for you now?
I'd say, Katie, we could nearly write this summer off at the moment. Because, as I said, when we're outside, we're weather dependent. And businesses, my trade is weekend trade. Midweek is very quiet here in the town of Portumna. You will have a few that will venture uptown. But a lot of people won't go outside, as they're just, you know, a lot of my customers will be elderly customers, and it's just more hardship for them to come in. They don't know, will there be any of their friends outside, will there be any even family of their family members, would they go out for a drink outside? I think we could write our summer off personally, because I honestly don't believe we'll be back to capacity until, you know, mass vaccination by 82% of the Irish population by September. I can't see anything like that happening until September. So I would, yeah, I'd write off the summer, I think.
Adrian, will you stay with us? I want to bring in Paddy Granger. Paddy, you're from the Pebble Beach in Clontarf.
How you doing, Katie? I'm at age, yeah.
Yeah, how did you take this news today?
Well, I watched the 1 o'clock news bulletin, and to be honest, you know, it was devastating. For almost 16 months now, We're what you know as a traditional pub. We didn't do food. And
we were calling a wet pub back in the day. But there was going to be no differentiation for this reopening. All pubs were going to be allowed. That was the original plan, to open on the 5th, and you were one of those.
That's right. But I'm just talking about the obstacles that were put up to us over the 16 months. We were told. So when it was announced that we'd all open together on the 5th, it was great news. But now everything's been put back. Myself and my brother Mark own this pub, and we put an awful lot of hard work into it to build up a great business, and then for it to be pulled away from you for so long. And not only that, we don't feel that we're getting the respect that the industry, because they're pushing us back and pushing us back and pushing us back. They're not giving us definite answers, and it's just soul-destroying.
I mean, I know they would say, like, you know, they did push forward their announcement to today. It was originally going to be later on in the week, and I think there was such an outcry from you know, people like yourself, that you needed a bit more notice, that they announced it today. But again, it's still just a week away from when you were due to reopen.
Yeah, and now they're saying they're going to look at it possibly after the 19th, which I believe is not going to happen. I'd say when we get to that date, they'll push it back again. You know,
you've lost faith.
I've lost faith completely, and you know, myself and Mark were talking there this morning, and we're just saying, going forward, you know, when we do eventually get open, where are we going to get staff from? Are staff going to want to come into this business with the uncertainty of what's down the line?
Are you actually in Pebble Beach right now, Paddy?
I'm standing in the pub now on my own on the phone to you, Katie, and it's it's depressing when you walk around an empty bar, a lovely bar. We spent, what, 4 or 5 hours of the day cleaning it and getting ready for the fifth with excitement and anticipation. And now I'm standing here and in a pub with no one in it. And what's the likelihood of anyone going to be in it in the near future? It's just devastating, and we're being treated with no respect from the government.
Were you hoping against hope there when you turned on the 1 o'clock news that it wouldn't be as bad as had been flagged?
No, I knew. And if anything has taught me over the last 16 months, once the notification come up on your phone with leaked messages, that they're the truth. That's what's going to happen, you know?
And when you say no respect, I mean, I have to say, put it to you, like, they, you know, this virus, I suppose, the government would say respects nobody, and that they are responding to the public health advice, and the public health officials are responding to what the virus is doing.
I do understand that, and I do understand that public health is important. But, you know, there's people now maybe going to cinemas and art galleries, and so what harm would some people be allowed in here? Not full capacity, but just to be able to open your doors. And, like, we've 3 bars here. We've 2 bars. We've a bar and a lounge downstairs and a lounge upstairs. So what harm would it be to let 30 in one bar, 30 in the other bar, and 30 in the bar upstairs, all socially distanced? We have professional staff that would make sure that the proper hygiene systems would be in place. So what harm would it be if we were... Give us the chance to show, give publicans the chance to show that we're responsible.
Can I ask you the profile, age profile of your clientele, Paddy? Would many of them be vaccinated?
A lot of them would be, yeah. We'd have a mixed age profile, probably ranging from 30 years of age up. So the majority of our customers would be vaccinated.
And would you have an issue there? Adrian was saying he'd be very slow to ask people for their personal health information or some kind of a vaccine cert. Would you be quite happy to do that?
I don't know, because the news is sort of sinking into me, only really sinking in with me now. I suppose if it got us open, we would. You know, myself or Mark would go on the door, or Dave, our manager, and we would do it if it gave us the chance to open. And we would make sure that it's done right, you know.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you raise there actually about cinemas, because of course cinemas and other cultural institutions are open at the moment, well, I think with restricted numbers, but are open, and
there is
no suggestion in those cases that you would require a vaccine cert or anything to get in the door. I wonder, will that stay that way now, or, you know, will it be a plague on everyone's houses if we put it that way? Paddy, will you stay with us? I want to bring in John Harney. John, good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon.
John, you are in Tipperary down there.
That's right, yeah. I'm outside Clonmel in the village called Clarahan.
Harney's final furlong.
That's it.
What do you think?
I'll tell you, I think that the part I find hard to understand is that it's okay for a hotel to operate with residents, but it's not okay for a pub to operate with a customer. And I think that Micheál Martin or Tony Whelan, whoever's making these decisions, needs to come out and explain that one. To explain that if I spend €150 and book into a hotel tonight, or €50, that I can go into the restaurant in that hotel and eat, along with all the other residents who have possibly come from all over the country. I can go into the bar and have a drink, but my locals living in my village can't come into my pub. And that's the basics of it. That's the question that has to be answered. All this semantics and quizzing this and quizzing that is a waste of time. We've got to get to the answer, because we had this with the €9 meal.
I know that this has been trashed around quite a lot, because there was a lot of issues around that when it was announced that the hotels were going to be allowed to open up first and that they would be allowed to serve customers in their dining rooms. And you know what they said, John, don't you? They said that it was you couldn't open up hotels for residents and then not feed them within the hotels, and that it, you know, this was part of our staged reopening, and it would be a smaller cohort who would be in that scenario.
But the smaller cohort would likely be from different parts of the country. If you take hotels, like I'm delighted hotels are open, don't get me wrong. I'm delighted that the bars and dining rooms and hotels are open. I think that coffee shops should be open immediately. That's just my opinion. But I don't accept that because I'm a publican and I'm going to have 10 lads in my pub tonight, that's a risk. And yet, 2 miles in the road, in the Clonmel Park, people who book into a hotel and those 10 people in the bar in that hotel are not, they're not the same risk. I don't accept that. And I think that's, we have to get down to the nitty-gritty and stop all the ranting and raving and all that. And we need to get that answered. Who has decided that it's okay if you have the price to stay in a hotel? Well, then you can go in and have a meal and you can actually book in. We'll say, I know of one case where there was a stag weekend and they all booked into a hotel at different tables and they had their weekend together. So, like, is that safer than coming to my pub? I just don't get it. I'm mystified by the whole thing. And we seem to accept this nonsense.
Have you been able to open at all, John?
Yes, I opened. I was on this show last year about the €9 meal and I had to put in a kitchen and serve food to get open. And I have a fully packed kitchen now and I can't bring people in. And last week, I had a man over 80 years of age with a 77-year-old man out the back of my pub. There was a north wind and you wouldn't put an Eskimo out in it. And to be honest, I was embarrassed. And the reason why they were there was for the social aspect. They're not heavy drinkers. They weren't there because they needed alcohol. They were there for just a social thing, just to mix, to meet people.
Yeah. John, stay there, please. Alan Farrell. Alan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I think the big picture that's being missed here is that we get the country back 100%, not 80%, not 90%. The country has to be back up 100%. The thing about it was, it's a sore point with me regarding last Christmas, the pubs were open. What damage was done around that time with the COVID being transmitted in pubs? Maybe, just maybe, if the pubs had been closed and the government had bit the bullet and stopped giving in to pressure back then, maybe we might be out of this mess now at the moment, you know? I can sympathise fully. I worked in the pub trade many moons ago and I can sympathise with the pub owners and the publicans. But the big picture is to get it right. Get it, not a half measure, get the whole measure done right this time, you know? And get rid of this thing once and for all, maybe, you know?
But do you feel, I mean, listening to Adrian and Paddy there standing in his empty pub and John... Like, it's just heartbreaking for you. Like, this is your livelihood. It is your heart and soul. And you thought you were on your way back on Monday. So you can imagine.
I was in Tralee last week on a camper van trip for 5-6 days. And I seen pubs closed. And I said to my partner, I said, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to see them. But the big picture, I'm sounding like a parrot now saying the same word, but you know, overall we have to, the government has to get it right this time. What's another couple of weeks, maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever the time is? It's not the end of the world, it's not Armageddon, but we could end up in another mess, you know. I was really pissed off, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to just ask, really, go on John, or yeah. Alan,
I was cheesed off around Christmas, you know, and I cheesed off when I see them in large gatherings, Cable Street there the other night. You see it on the social media, you know, along the canals, the back of Mountjoy there, hundreds of young people down around the
well, now the publicans will say, Alan, sorry to cut across, but publicans say, well, you know, if you don't let them in the doors of the pubs, what do you expect them to do, you know?
Well, that's true. You see, it's, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time, so.
I want to just ask Adrian. I want to ask Adrian that. I mean, a lot of these decisions are being made in the shadow of the decisions that were made last December, Adrian. And, you know, there is no doubt, but we got that very wrong.
Absolutely. But last December, the wet pubs weren't even opened. It was the restaurants, you know, the bars and restaurants. And to be fair, they all compiled by what they were asked to do with the social distancing, the hand sanitising, the mask wearing, the contact tracing. Because of the lower capacity and the lack of businesses that were open around Christmas, people did congregate. They probably congregated in families and settings. Your last speaker there spoke about the crowds in Capel Street. We can control the people in our pubs. If they open the businesses, there won't be on-street drinking. There won't be mass gatherings on Temple Bar and Capel Street, because we can control the crowds that come into our premises. We can limit them to their six to a table from three different houses, 1 metre apart. We have their names and addresses. If there was an outbreak, please God, that never happened here in this town anyway, that we can send that contact tracing book to the HSE and control it that way. But unless the businesses, unless these young people or middle-aged people, whoever they are, have somewhere to go and meet in a safe environment, they will meet in gatherings, especially when the weather is so hot.
But when you say, Adrian, we can control people in our, you know, we can keep them X number to a table and, you know, hygiene and all that. But we now know that it's not about, you know, keeping people a metre apart as such. It's about breathing the same air for, you know, it's about breathing infected air. And like, has enough been done in terms of proper ventilation and air quality monitoring in indoor spaces like pubs and restaurants? Has anyone come to your pub and asked you what have you done about your air quality in here?
No, nobody has visited. I've literally taken the door off the front of the premises, that allows the air from the back beer garden to flow right through the pub. And even though the inside of the pub is empty, but that's how I control my air. I have an air conditioning unit that recycles the old air. I've different ductings in place that sends out the air inside outside basically. So this pub that I'm in, it is well ventilated. I'd have no issues in to a certain degree of allowing, we'd say, even if they allowed the indoors at a 50 or 60% occupancy for a couple of weeks, and gradually get your customers back in, and until we get a hold of this Delta variant, and then we get a hold of the vaccinations. It's just the pubs to give them a bit of turnover, because their bills are still coming through. Like, we got our rates bill now. It's deferred until October. But we still have that waiting to be paid in October. And we're only open. I'm only open here. This is my fourth week. So the bills still come through the door, even with a few people out the back of your garden.
I want to bring in Paul. Paul, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon. Just a quick comment. I think the publicans are being very greedy and narrow-minded. My thinking on it would be that if you had a publican lying on a flat back in a hospital and the doctor came down to give him advice, he'd tell the doctor to do what he had to do to sort the problem out. So I just think publicans are just being mean, narrow-minded about all they can see is money.
But surely what they can see is survival, though, Paul. Would you accept
There's lots of us are out of work since this happened, and there's not a lot we can do about it. You know, there's lots of us have suffered and suffering still. But what can we do?
So,
if I want medical advice, I'll go to a doctor. If I want a drink, I'll go to a publican. But I don't want a publican trying to tell a doctor what's right and what's wrong.
Paddy, if you're still there, Paddy Granger.
Yeah.
Would you respond to Paul for me there?
Greed. I wouldn't say it's greed. I say it's like any business. A business has to take in money to survive. And we've all individual families to support. So, like, I wouldn't say greed is a factor. It's like any business. I could get into the car now and drive down the road, and I see businesses open, and I can see you can go into Arnott's department store, you can go into these places where there's lots of people mingling in the same space. And it just baffles me, that. You can walk into a big shop like that, but yet you can't have a small field. You can't have people segregated or separated in here socially and responsibly.
I'm just looking at the list here in front of me, Paddy, of outbreaks. This is in the letter from NPHET to the government, and it sets out recent outbreaks. That's in week 25, which is the last week gone. That's the week going up to Friday the 25th of June. So there was one nursing home outbreak, two outbreaks with vulnerable communities, four in childcare facilities, 14 in schools or associated with school children, I should say, eight workplace outbreaks. And then it goes to other locations. And there were four in social gatherings, four outbreaks in public houses, three outbreaks in restaurant cafe settings, and then one in transport, one in religious setting, and one community outbreak. So, I mean, there have been outbreaks, even though the, you know, hospitality is so limited.
Yeah, even though it's so limited, I suppose it has. But why are we? It just seems to be that we're being pinpointed in the whole thing, and we're being stopped from
because you're a high risk. You're a high risk scenario, basically.
But if we were allowed to show that we can do it in a responsible manner, to be given a chance, like we're not even being given a chance. That's the annoying thing. We will do it responsibly.
But I'm just going to put this to you now, because I know a lot of people out there, and we're getting calls in on it, are saying you were given the chance in December, and we listened to people like yourselves in December, and we were absolutely assured everything would be done 100% right. And we're not saying anyone did anything wrong, but, you know, look where it landed us.
Yeah, but not everybody was given a chance. We're a traditional pub or the wet pub, which is the phrase I don't like. But like it was the pubs that did food were given the chance. We weren't given the chance.
But are you saying that would have made any difference?
I'm not saying it would have made any difference, but it would have been that more places were open, people were spread out, and you could socially distance people better. If you open in an area where, let's say, where there's a traditional pub, a food pub. Let's say two food pubs and a traditional pub. The traditional pub is closed. So we have a capacity here of about, I'd say, 200 or 300 people that can't come inside here. So they're all going to go and congregate in the one pub. And to me, that's crazy. That's crazy. You're just pushing people down the road to fill the other place. You know? It doesn't make sense. If everyone was open and you could spread the people out, you'd have a better chance.
I'm just going to put you now, because I'm looking at this letter, the modelling that's been done, that this new decision is being based on. This is the modelling done by Philip Nolan and his team in Neffet. And the best case scenario, this is with a very, with a moderate conservative level of transmissions, conservative level of socialising. The very best case scenario, if there is a Delta variant in circulation, is... by the end of September, 195 people in ICU and 165 deaths. And then there's two more extreme cases. And then the worst case scenario, the most pessimistic one, is suggesting that we could have almost 13,000 hospital admissions by the end of September, over 1,600 ICU admissions, and over 2,000 deaths, 2,170 deaths. That's pretty sobering. If you are the Taoiseach or the Minister for Health, and you are looking down the barrel at that advice, like, would you be able to say, go on, you know, we'll open anyway?
Well, the thing is the vaccines. And the vaccines aren't coming quick enough. And if everyone's vaccinated, we'd have a better chance of bringing them projected numbers down. And that's what happened around Europe. And therefore, I think we're the only country in Europe that has not gone indoor yet. So to me, it's the vaccine.
I'll just give you the... So you're right, indoor dining has reopened in most of Europe in recent weeks. I'm just reading from the Irish Times have a report on this. Customers show proof of vaccination or a negative test on entry to restaurants and bars in many countries across Europe, including Austria, Cyprus, Denmark, parts of Germany, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg and Slovenia. And there's various other restrictions in place across Europe in relation to indoor dining. So it's not a throw the doors open and we're the only ones that haven't done that. I think they're right across Europe. They're struggling with this, I think.
Yeah. Well, does a lot of them open indoors in Europe?
No, as I say, you're right. They're open. They're open, but there are restrictions in place. But you're saying, I suppose, you'll accept the restrictions if you could just open.
100%. We do what we have to do, and we do it responsibly. We're professionals in what we do. So give us the guidelines. Tell us what we have to do, and we'll do it.
Yeah, I think Paul is still on the line. Paul, do you accept that they will do everything they can do, but they just want a chance to show that they can be done?
What I'd say to you is, we had publicans over the last number of months selling takeaway alcohol, which was attracting people to certain pubs.
It was entirely legal, though, Paul.
I'm not saying it's not legal. I'm not saying it's not legal. What I'm saying is, it was attracting groups of people to a certain area, and we don't know if that has led to a further contamination. Okay? I'm not saying it's not legal. But I'm not talking about the law. I'm talking about public health.
But, I mean, it's hard to ask somebody not to run a business if their business activity is deemed to be legal. And
I didn't say they were wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. But I'm just highlighting this, that I don't think it's right that it's happening. They should just bite the bullet and face up and say, look it.
So, excuse me, can I just say something there? But yeah. we were told to have an outdoor summer.
And we were told to mix outside was safe. But okay. But what happened was, a number of publicans started selling takeaway alcohol, and it led to people congregating outside the pubs, within 100 metres of the pubs, and that.
But that's the law.
I don't know. I'm not talking about the law. I'm talking about public health. You know, there's more to life than the law. There's public health.
I know, but they were outdoors. They were told to be outdoors.
They were outdoors, and they were standing on the roadways outside the pubs.
No, they were. I don't think they were standing outside the pubs.
Well, you didn't see the pictures at William Street.
Well, maybe in city centre, yeah, but not near. Yeah. You go to any suburban pub.
Listen, I beg to differ.
In suburban pubs, I don't think so.
Well, I can tell you now, on Conca Hill Road, there's people standing outside pubs.
100% not.
Well, I can tell you, I live around the corner from you, so that's how I know.
No, there was no one. There was no one congregating outside this pub.
We'll beg to differ on that. But as regards publicans being responsible, go into Temple Bar on a Friday night and a Saturday night and see where the responsibility is of publicans. If you see the state of the people that are coming out of the pubs, they're obviously being served alcohol when they're actually drunk and they're being given more drink. So responsibility is not a word that goes to publican as far as I'm concerned.
Can I just say something there?
You can, of course.
It wasn't solely down to defence the city centre. It wasn't solely down to the pubs. You go into centre shops and spa shops, and they were purchasing alcohol, and they were going to the areas where the pubs were, but they weren't purchasing in the pubs.
To the areas where the pubs were that were serving alcohol, that was an attraction for people to gather. It was like a magnet. The pubs that were open were like a magnet to others to go to.
But if they were open in a responsible manner, people wouldn't be forced to go to centres and buy alcohol and sit around streets.
Well, I'm not going to get into the finer details of where people buy their drink. What I'm saying to you is, the fact that the pubs are open, it acted like a magnet to people to go to these pubs, to these areas, the likes of William Street and others. It drew them into a place. And this is where, possibly, I'm not a scientist, but this is possibly where COVID got a hold on people again. And it didn't just happen in Dublin, it happened in Galway, it happened in Limerick, Cork.
Yeah, but see, people were told to go outside. So if they can't go inside, they were told to go outside.
The outdoor summer is only in the last couple of weeks. This is going on a couple of months, this people buying takeaway alcohol and drinking on the streets.
But what did you think was meant by the outdoor summer, Paul?
I would take it as the tables being outside a pub or outside a restaurant and people sitting down in a responsible manner and alcohol being served to those people who are sitting at the tables.
That makes it for people who can afford, you know, to sit down and maybe order food and have, you know, there's a lot of people that's not really a realistic scenario, Paul.
Well, you know what? That's life at the moment. That's Ireland 2021, and we just have to face up to it. You know, we either want to get ourselves back to a healthy situation, or we're prepared to go down the road of grief and trouble in hospitals. You know, that's life.
Paul,
you have to face up to life as it is.
Will you stay with us, Paul? I have to take a break, but I want to stay with this after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I want to go now to Brian. Brian, good afternoon.
Katie, how are you?
How are you, Brian?
I'm great. I'm sitting here listening to that wonderful do-gooder who's going to protect us all from all the ills and woes. And to insult a publican, I'm a publican 30 years, and on national airwaves and call us greedy people. I'll tell you what greed is, Kate. On three occasions I wrote to the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and my local TDs last year, and I asked them what were they proposing to do to take a pay cut to join the team to fight COVID. I got a reply from none of them, nor did they take a pay cut. That's greed. Publicans are mature business people and have been for many, many years. He's talking about public health as a fact of life. It is. Drinking is a fact of life. The government take massive taxes from alcohol. And I'm open for the last 3 weeks, and I'm serving young people over the age of 18 up to the age of 70. And all I see are groups of people sitting at tables, not even on their phones. Conversation, drinking, laughing, delighted to be back out, socialising. And if he wants to call that greed or us shouting from the hilltops to protect our business, he needs to get another life, really, you know?
Where you're based, it's Brian Browning, Brian, I should tell people. You're based up there in Drogheda. You have a number of pubs.
I have a number of outlets in Drogheda here, and I'm very proud to be here 30 years. And we work well with the Gardaí. We stick to our guns. You imagine we open at 5 o'clock, Katie, on Monday to Thursday. We close the bar at 11, and everybody's gone by half 11. And we don't allow them to take their drink onto the street, and we don't give them plastic glasses. That stopped because we understand that we're there to obey the law. The law are there to police the law. So what's happened in Capel Street and Temple Bar, and the other chap was right, they were shopping and off-licence and going into these areas for the crack, for the atmosphere, to get out of their own, their closed environment. So we abide the law. We obey the law. The guards will police it. But there's no Garda force could have policed Temple Bar or Capel Street or whatever. But who could? The publicans can police it, and police it very well.
Paul.
Publicans will not, it's not their job, and that's the first thing they tell you. It's not their job. And they haven't decided their public premises, their public licensing premises, is nothing to do with them. Once it doesn't happen inside their premises, it's not their problem. They can play a lip service and say this and say that. But they are not going to get involved. Hold on, let me finish. They're not going to get involved in an altercation on the street because it's not for them to sort out. What they will do is... excuse me, let me finish. What they will do is...
You've said an awful lot of gobbledygook there. Go on.
That's your opinion and you're welcome to it. You're welcome to it.
Do you go to a pub, Paul? Pub, do you go to a pub?
I do, yeah. I do.
How often would you go to a pub?
As often as I want. I'm sick listening to publicans whinging morning, noon and night.
Come here, have you heard me whinge?
I didn't say you, I said
publicans. I haven't whinged. No, but I haven't whinged. But I'm going to give you the facts.
Well, you know what? You must be one. You must be a rare breed. You must be like a dodo bird. Because everyone else seems...
Well, no. The facts of the matter, you need to get a life, number one. Number two, let me tell you that the people in this country are fed up being misled by this government. We will, we won't, we will, we won't. Not only did they tell us we wouldn't open on the 5th. I'm lucky. I've two pubs open. My colleagues are not open. I feel for them and the pressure that puts us under. I've queues outside my pub every weekend. Do I need to be turning people away? It's an insult. It's not nice. And just to tell you about policing. Hold on a second, Paul. Let me finish. Let me tell you about policing the law. Most sensible publicans would have security on the door, number one. Number two, most sensible publicans will clear the street area directly outside their premises to move people on, in particular if there's neighbours to be looked after, which we do. And most sensible publicans will send their staff out at 12:30 at night when you're all gone to bed to clean up any mess outside on the public footpaths. So get a life. Yeah, you're okay. Obviously drinking somewhere.
Can I just say something here now?
Oh yeah, Paul, come back.
You're sick and tired of something, right? Well, you know what? The nurses and doctors in our hospitals are sick and tired of having to deal with COVID. I know they have to deal with it, but there's a lot of unnecessary COVID out there as well. And I'm sure those families are sick and tired of burying their loved ones as well.
Actually,
no, Paul, hold on a second, Katie. Paul, that's the high moral ground. Let me tell you, the publicans didn't create or invent COVID. It came about for lots of reasons. And sometimes we're baffled as to why you can go into a hotel and sit down with a meter distance between you and the next table and have a meal, but you can't go into a pub and have a drink and a bit of pub crawl under the same circumstances. And the publicans have been out there and they've said, we'll cut the capacity by 50%. And it's not about greed. Let me tell you another fact that people don't see. I brought 3 senior people from other jobs last week to start work this week with a view to opening next week. Now, they do not need to be told tomorrow they're back on COVID. I've employed 30 young people in one of my pubs from the ages of 18 up to 22. Wonderful kids, want a summer job, want to earn, build their money up for college in the winter. They're doing a great job. They deserve a lot more respect than what you're suggesting. We pay them well, Paul. They get their wages. And by the way, ring up your local TD, ring up Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar, and the rest of them. Ask them what drop did they take in salary. I went on COVID last year. I dropped from 700 a week to 350. Did I moan about that? No. Like many other publicans,
well,
we didn't know.
Welcome to the club.
Well, I wouldn't want to be joining your club because I reckon I'd have to be bringing plenty of sparkling water and Coca-Cola diet. I don't think you and I'd have a great time in a pub, Paul.
You know what? That's your opinion and you're welcome to it. I'm just expressing my opinion. I'm expressing my opinion of a lot of people who can't get onto the phone for whatever reason. Right?
I'm not
a single person standing in the field. There's lots of people who would have the same opinion.
Yeah, I want to bring in another voice into this, if you don't mind, gentlemen. I want to bring in John Keogh. John, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
You're listening to Paul and Brian debating that there. You were on with Joe back in February.
I was indeed. In February the 14th, our lives changed forever. With our sister, who was a 53-year-old health worker who died from COVID. She died from the English variant. And our lives changed totally because of COVID. Now, I do respect every publican in the country. I do respect the fact that everybody needs to earn a living and everybody needs to provide for their families. And I sympathise with them totally today. But when you hear personal attacks on people who don't agree with them, or you hear words like taking the moral high ground because of COVID, there's 5,000 families out there today who have lost loved ones. And if you do the maths on that, that equates to almost 365,000 people that have been affected by COVID, either directly or indirectly, from the death of a loved one. And after lockdown 2, when the government decided to open and the pubs reopened and kids went back to school, COVID was on the increase. And then we had the English variant that became the dominant variant, which cost the life of my sister, along with hundreds and hundreds of other people. The Delta variant is equally as dangerous, and I don't think a lot of people realise that if the Delta variant does become the dominant strain in this country, we will face another lockdown and a longer period of lockdown in the country. And there is no moral high ground for any family who have lost a loved one to COVID. And publicans and people who go to pubs and people who socialise should still realise that.
Just to remind us, John, of your sister. And she was caught in the COVID rise in the UK in January.
She got the English variant here in Ireland in the community.
And was she ill very long with it, John?
Within 3 days of getting a positive diagnosis for the English variant, she was getting respiratory support in Beaumont Hospital. Within 11 days of that, she was on a ventilator in the Mater Hospital. We did our last video call with her before she was put on a ventilator, and she never recovered. She died. And that whole period took no longer than 5 weeks.
And she was a young woman, a relatively young woman, John.
She was 53 years of age. She had no underlying conditions, none whatsoever.
That's just devastating.
Can I come in there, Katie? And just, first of all,
Brian,
commiserating that gentleman. And I fully, fully appreciate what he's talking about when we come to the health of us. Where I'm coming at is this, that there are lots of people out there suffering in many, many ways. The health of the nation is not good. The health of the world is not good with COVID. But I spoke to an undertaker yesterday, for what it's worth, and I was fascinated. They're not busy across the board. There's nobody dying. There's nobody dying at the minute. Now, let me just finish. Is that because we as publicans, and by the way, I'm a human being, I've children, right? So of course I care. I'm not going out willy-nilly getting sloshed 7 days a week with no mask, ignoring it, sitting on top of people. No, we're obeying the rules that were given to us, by the way, the guidelines by Bord Fáilte. We're applying all that. But the reality at the end of the day, we've contributed to the success of the COVID numbers too. I'm not looking for credit for that. What I am looking for from Paul is a little bit of respect that says we are not greedy. And I will defend every publican from the top to the bottom of the country. We are not greedy people.
Okay, can we let John back in there, John?
What I would say to the gentleman, there, if I could speak, is that I know publicans are not greedy. I know publicans are looking to survive. I know that they want their businesses to survive, and I have a lot of respect for a lot of publicans in the country. But I would ask you this: would you like to open now and then in September have another lockdown for another 6 months? Or would you not be prepared to wait for 4 weeks and be sensible about it and look at reopening in 4 weeks' time and never closing again?
I do support you there. The issue is, the government will come out today. There's no opening on the 5th. We'll review it on the 19th. There's no end line. And that's what's frustrating people, frustrating employers, employees, publicans. And by the way, the industry that provide us with our product employ a massive amount of people. Do they produce? Do they not? Are the delivery men on the road? Are they not? The confusion and the indecision is mentally, by the way, you talk about the health of the nation, is mentally straining on a lot of people. And I fear, and I do believe on this one, a lot of publicans will now just lock the door and say, can't take any more, mentally, can't take any more. Right. Now,
if I could just come in with one more point before I go. Okay?
Go ahead.
When you're in a crematorium and you're standing beside a closed casket, and there's only 10 people in that room who can't even say goodbye to your loved one, who cannot even mourn normally the way Irish people would mourn, I would weigh that against waiting another 4 weeks and to open in 4 weeks' time, knowing that the government has done the best they can do and now it's up to everybody else. The Delta variant is vicious. There's over 200 people a day dying in Russia from the Delta variant, and God knows where else. Australia have gone into a lockdown, and you have to realise a euro in the bank or 10 people in the graveyard, which is the best deal?
Can I just say, I see your sentiment, I listen to you very clearly, you're right in many ways, but the reality here is that there is a lack of decision making on behalf of the government.
But Brian, can I just put you? I just need to put this to you. Like, yep. I'm sure that the last thing that the government wanted today was to have to come out and push back this date again and to put it even worse, not have a date at all, as you say yourself. But surely to God, this is not down to lack of decision making. It's a moving target here. The Delta variant is we're just learning about it. We don't know where it's going to take us. And there's very worrying stories coming in from other jurisdictions where the Delta variant has taken off.
Katie, can I say, I fully agree, but there is no direction here. It's let's wait and see. So where I want to put it is, and this is with the whole argument, this is the confusing point. Why can you sit in a hotel and have a drink and a meal and not sit in a pub with the same restrictions, the same guidelines, by the way, mask wearing, staff wearing a mask, no taking orders at the bar, table service, by the way, which has turned out to be a wonderful experience for lots of customers, I have to say. And even from a publican's point of view, you don't have 10 deep at the bar. It's a new beginning for us. But for God's sake, you cannot keep telling people it's Monday. I'm sorry, no, it's not Monday. Give us a shout in 2 weeks' time. Actually, we're not even too sure then. So we're all on for a safe and healthy society. But don't label publicans as greedy, self-interested in this matter. We play our part significantly in this country, and that needs to be recognised. We're all for a healthy nation. I don't want anyone to die. I don't want my customers dying. I don't want my staff at risk. That's the other thing people forget. Do you think I want my young staff standing in the firing line of COVID?
But would it not be safer for your staff to be dealing with a clientele that were all vaccinated or had already had the virus than what they were going to be doing, which was dealing with whoever came in the door?
Katie, the government came out and said until every person in the country is vaccinated, and by the way, the percentage won't take it, will refuse it, until the country is fully vaccinated or 90%, we're closed. You must understand, why can I walk around Penny's and Quinsworth? Why can I sit in an indoor hotel, go to a room, and I can't walk into a pub? That's the argument. There's nothing else. It's not about us not caring about people. If you go down in history, go to the country, they'll tell you the most giving people in the community for years have been the local pub. You go to the local pub to hit them for sponsorship, you'll get it. You won't necessarily get it from the local supermarket or local pharmacy, although I'm sure they do support it. But your local pub is a sure bet because we invest in our business to get it back. So there's no greed here. And the running of a pub is, we are now the most regulated industry in this country. I remember years ago, Katie, going to Spain and Portugal, and you see 20 certificates on the wall. One is for that, one is for this. I think we've caught up with that, which is ridiculous.
Okay. Will you stay? I'm going to ask you all
this.
I'm going to ask you all to stay there just a moment. I do have to get another break in. 51551 is our text line.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I want to go now to Eamon. Eamon, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Katie.
You have a pub there in Knocktougher in Kilkenny.
That's right, yeah.
And were you all ready to throw your doors open on Monday?
Already, yeah. Everything organised. Had my beer, had to ring up today and cancel my orders and again. Okay, I'm a small country pub. I'm not a big pub, but it's devastating. It's a killer. And then today to be told that the 5th of July is gone and not to be told... review it in 2 weeks' time. Someone said to me during the week, and I think it's 100% right, that the pubs won't reopen again until September, until the kids go back to school again. I'm beginning to believe it now again. And it's a killer, because I'm just over the road from Mount Jewlett. The Irish Open Golf is on there now, and starting on Thursday. So I can look out at all the cars passing and wave at the people, and that's it. And so there's been a great buzz around the place for a few days. And this other man said, it's a great hurling pub where I am, and we had county finals and everything last year. I got open for the 2 weeks, and it was organised, and it was everyone came in and watched our match and sat down and social distancing, and everyone was gone home that night and had no problem. But this is a killer article. Now, it's today, just from Micheál Martin come out and smile and saying, we're not opening on the 5th, and not to give us another date. We're having about 10 dates at this stage. But
I suppose, it's a big question, I suppose. Is it better to give you a date that might shift again, or to leave it open-ended and wait until they have more information?
But what's open-ended? I nearly guarantee you it'll be September now. I'd put a pound to a penny or a euro to a cent at this stage. I guarantee it'll be back to September again when the kids go back to school. And September is the worst time of the year, as any public will tell you. From September to the 8th Christmas, it's just dead. Summer's over, dark evenings. You may as well stay closed until Christmas.
And were you open before Christmas in that window?
No, that's why I don't agree with that, my gentleman. If all the pubs are open, look, I'm not far from Kilkenny. There's queues outside pubs in Kilkenny this weekend. Look, queues going for outdoor drinking. If all the crowd were spread out, it would be much better. And then we have the ridiculous situation. I was watching a hurling match on Sunday between Waterford and they left in 200 people into Thurles. 200 in a 50,000 seat with masks on. I don't know. It's crazy. That end of it. GA are kind of coming back. There's 8,000 now going to be allowed into Croke Park, I think, on the weekend. But I see 200 people in Thurles last Sunday with masks in a 50,000-seater stadium. So, I mean, there's no thinking at all behind all this.
Do you have an outdoor space, Eamon?
No, unfortunately. So I'm.
So you have nothing at all?
I opened for the 2 weeks there in September, which was going great. Everything was going good. And great to see people coming back. Look, country pubs are different. Small country pubs are different. I'm in a small village and you have your locals and they come up for a few points. If you're a greedy publican, you'll probably be closed up at this stage because it couldn't pay you. But that's just the fact of life. But looking at the way it is now, there's no end in sight. And it's a killer. It really is. And I have good friends up there and I like people there. And I lock up. I don't live there, thanks be to God, because I think I'd be gone to the mental at this stage if I was living over the pub and just looking out every day at nothing. Lucky enough, I go home at night. But it's sickening. It's devastating.
And like, how long will you be able to hang on there? Do you have bills coming in?
Of course I have. Yeah. Everyone has bills coming in. Like, I've mentioned rates and different things being cut and all that, but you still have all your bills. And even for the whole winter, the pub was closed. But you'll have to heat it at night, because from that, if you close up a place, you know yourself, for even a few weeks, you still have to get your oil and electric bills. And even I got an electric bill a few weeks ago, which was only been estimated up to now. That nearly stopped me heart, because I had to ring in and give them the proper readings and all that. So there's plenty of bills coming in. But that's all that's coming in, is bills. There's no one else coming in.
But then when you see, like when you listen to John there, and you know that devastating loss of his sister in January, and it does put it in perspective as well, you know, in terms of what is the backdrop to the decisions that the government is trying to make.
I just don't know, but no one wants to see anyone dying, God forbid. And I've had a few of my own customers in the last 12 months or 18 months, and it's a horrible time, that have passed away, and you can't, like you say, you can't even go to the funeral, you can't even go sympathise with people. It's horrible. So that's another end of it. But then, as I say, what happens after funerals, and not blown up, but a lot of people go to the pub to socialise and have a drink or two or meet the people that and sympathise. But it's all gone out the window now. And as I say, I just see yesterday they're going to allow 5,000 people to go to the race in Galway. Great, that's great news. But sure, half the country might go to Galway then as well. So what are they going to do with it? Are they going to keep them all in the streets in Galway? Because they will. People will go to the Galway races. I'll go there myself. But if they're losing 5,000 into the races and the races are going ahead, what's the answer to that? There's going to be maybe 40,000 people or 50,000 people going to Galway.
Yeah.
For the bit of fun and the bit of crack.
And the outdoor summer.
I'm looking out at it here. It's a lovely day here. And the sun is shining. That's about all I can tell you. But it's in most pubs, a lot of pubs. 90%, I'd say at least 60% of the pubs I hate that term, wet pubs, that are closed and can do nothing about it. And the weather here is, even if I had a bit of room outside, I wouldn't do it, I don't think. It's just not, it wouldn't pay you. It's just not on. It wouldn't pay me anyway, that's for sure.
Tell me, you know, the other issue that came up today that we had been, I think, totally dismissed, or I understood anyway, there was no, it wasn't run at all in government circles up until now, this idea that when they do open up for indoor dining and indoor hospitality, that it will be just for the vaccinated and the people who can show that they've already had COVID. Like, how would that work in a small community like your pub would be in?
Well, funnily enough, I'd say I'd have no problem, because nine times a day, most nights, weeknights are quite enough, and you know, I know my customers, and most of them definitely be vaccinated. Firstly, I'm not trying to insult them, but I say most of them definitely be vaccinated. So, look, every case is different, I know that, but I could safely say if I was open tonight and if I had 15 customers in, I'd know that I'd say at least 14 of them would be vaccinated at this stage. That's just it.
So you might be all right then. I mean, it might actually fall your way.
Well, that's my point, yeah, but you can't put everyone into the one category, you know. That's, you know, as I say, it's a country pub. It's a small pub. It's great. There's great people. And yeah, during the week, look, you're not going to be too busy. And even that's what a couple of them said to me. Would they love to come up for another pint tonight? Sit back at the table, sit away from the bar and have a few pints and go home. And that's all. That's a lot of country pubs. That's all they want to do.
Yeah, I know. It's so frustrating, you know, when you see, as you say, the problem is the decisions are being made for one size fits all. But of course, that's the last way it works. And when you're looking at
that, couldn't be further from the truth. Yeah, no. I mean, you have the big cities. I understand that, and your people like someone said, the off licenses and all this, which is crazy. That's another bugbear. But anyway, we won't talk about that. But which are not off licenses, even with the supermarkets, I'm selling. You can buy 15 cans of beer for cheaper than you can buy 15 bottles of water. Like, so I mean, that's crazy altogether.
Yeah, but I think has that minimum unit pricing come in yet? Because that would put an end to some of that.
No, but it's supposed to come in next January now or something, they're saying. But wait and see on that one too.
Okay, Eamon, will you stay there, please? I need to get another ad break in here. 51551 is our text line.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we were talking to Eamon there before the break about this idea of allowing indoor hospitality to go ahead for vaccinated people and people who've come through COVID-19. I just want to bring in Shay now. Shay Fitzgerald, good afternoon to you.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Yeah, this is kind of getting a lot of traction online and people are very upset about the idea that there should be discrimination basically against people who haven't had a chance to get a vaccine yet or haven't had the virus. But you think none mightn't be such a bad idea?
Oh, yeah. Discrimination is kind of a two-edged sword, if you like. I mean, you could also argue that it's discriminatory against the pub owners to not allow them to allow people in who have been vaccinated or have survived COVID and who don't present a threat. And so that is discriminating against the pub owners. I mean, I'm not a pub owner myself. I don't have a vested interest in that industry. But
have you been vaccinated, though?
I have, yes.
All right, so you do have some skin in the game, Shay.
Well, I have some skin in the game, yeah. But, I mean, I'm not really... it's nice to go to a pub. It's nice to go and sit outside a pub. But there are days that that's not going to be possible, you know, where the weather is inclement. We're having a nice day now. The last couple of days saw a lot of rain. You know, there was a rain around where I'm from in Dunleary.
But Shay,
that you can sit outside, really.
Yeah, can I put you, like, exactly because of that, that if I'm 64 and yeah. I went along and got my AstraZeneca vaccine and now I've been waiting for, you know, whatever, 6, 7, 8 weeks. I still still haven't been called for my second dose. And my 40-year-old sister is strolling into a pub and booking her tables in restaurants. That could really, you know, that could really cause divisions between people.
Well, I mean, yes, I suppose is the answer to that. We have to be a bit adult about this. I mean, like, it's not as if, when you originally mentioned the word discrimination, it's not as if people are being discriminated against for the sake of it. We're in an extraordinary time, and we need. It's been established that socialisation and the pub in Ireland is a community centre as much as anything else. It's where people meet each other. It's not just for going for drinks. But the fact that in this extraordinary time, that there are people who do not present a danger because they have been either vaccinated or had the COVID and recovered. Okay, that's been taken on board. How hard would it be to prove that that was the situation for those people? And it's not discriminating against those who haven't been. Nobody wants that to happen, but it just they haven't been vaccinated yet. That's just that they will be vaccinated, and then the same right would be afforded to them.
But I'm thinking of the whole...
To deny the pub owners the access to the ones who have been vaccinated could equally be argued to be discriminatory.
Yeah, you're just after triggering a thing. Eamon, just in relation to the discriminatory issue, there was some suggestions there just immediately after this news broke that there may be legal challenges from publicans in relation to this. Would you think that would be justified?
That's a hard one to call.
Given that hotels are open and will be open all the way through the summer now.
Well, that's totally unjust, as I say. Like the last publican said there, what's the difference between, actually, it was away myself 2 weeks ago, and we're down in a hotel down in Clare, and same thing, we were in sit inside and have our meal and have a few drinks, and no problem. And yeah. I can't see the difference. And Irish, I'm a so-called wet pub. I can't see the difference of a few lads, 10 or 15 lads in a pub, spread out, having a few pints at the moment. And if people are not vaccinated, then it's probably down to the individual themselves there, whether they want to come in or not as well. Also, you know, some people won't be happy to go into a pub again, and that's their own kind of decision. But I don't know. Maybe they will, but you're for court. You know, something court cases in this country can go on for 3 years.
All right. Although I think when they need to do them quickly, they can do that too.
I know. Yeah, but that's like bringing in legislation. They can do that very quick too when it suits. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah. Okay, I need to take my last break. We'll be back after this.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Bridget O'Connor. Bridget, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Bridget, where do you stand on this one?
Well, I suppose my issue really is that on the 19th of July, international travel to the EU will reopen. Now, the problem is that the USA, the United States of America, is not included in it. Ireland is still red listed due to the fact, I'm told, or it may well be the fact, that it's due to a glitch in the delivery of the numbers, and that the United States of America are not aware that we are as low in numbers as we are. I think it's very unfair for grandparents who have grandchildren in the States who cannot visit them. And considering that our numbers are so low, I think it should be revisited by the government. And since we have such a great relationship with Joe Biden and his Irish connection, I think it's one thing that should be looked at.
You have grandchildren in the States, Bridget.
Yes, I have 5 grandchildren in California. They're living in Piedmont, Northern California, and it's virtually COVID-free as we stand. Now, I'd be quite prepared to do the PCR test. I'm doubly vaccinated, and I think that an awful lot of the grandparents who would be going would be in that category. So I really feel that there's a case to be made for looking at the issue insofar as to why we're still red-listed and why we're not in the same category as international reopening on the 19th of July.
And you were very careful during...
Absolutely. I would be one of these people who would not have gone hardly outside the door. I even rang my local shop, O'Dwyer's Mason Camp, on a Friday, ordered my entire groceries for the week and got my son to pick them up the following day. That is how careful I was. I didn't go to church. I didn't go anywhere. And I think that most grandparents, you know, who are basically in this category, as I am, would be in that category as well, where they have been very careful. They have done all the right things. And you see, we don't have time on our side in the sense that, in fairness, when people are on the other side of 70, you never know from year to year where things are going to go. So it's every month and every year makes a difference. And while we're quite aware and in realization, and I really want to sympathize with that gentleman earlier on the death of his sister and all the people who tragically lost loved ones, and I think COVID was such a terrible hard thing on the whole of the community of Ireland and all over the world. So, you know, for no way, I'm not taking it lightly, but I do think that since international travel is reopening on the 19th of July, that certainly the USA should be looked at, considering that we have so many of our people living in the United States of America.
When was the last time you saw your grandchildren, Bridget?
I didn't see them for 2 years now, and the way things are looking, it's hard to know when that will happen again, if things are going to go the way they are at the moment, and if we're still red-listed ongoing, it's difficult to say. And I know for a sure fact, when speaking to my daughters, that all of the other friends they have, and they have many friends at this stage, because they're there quite a long time, are very concerned and very worried, and they're all the time getting onto the embassy and the government and the whole lot in the States to find out if there's anything can be done so that their families can come, you know, and visit.
Right. And just in relation, before we let you go, Bridget, what do you think of the announcement that was made there by the Taoiseach at lunchtime?
Well, I'm no way, I suppose, a medical person, and I understand the dilemma that the government are in, and in view of the health, I suppose, advice and the public health advice. But what I would say about rural Ireland, and I live in the Dingle Peninsula, we're in a very different category down here. Basically, if you drove the length and breadth of the peninsula today, you will see a couple of people huddled outside a bar or a restaurant. They are completely compliant. Restaurateurs and bar owners have done their utmost to make it very comfortable for people to dine outdoors. On the other hand, our climate is against us, as we all know. And I feel that there are empty restaurants and empty bars, which really, if you think about it, with the majority of the population, which we are an older population here in this peninsula, okay. I would say that an awful lot of us are vaccinated at this stage. We're down to the 40 plus even. And I think in the end of the day, there are only people on staycation coming into the peninsula. We are very different to the big pubs and restaurants in the city. The other thing I'd say, and I'm listening to the arguments going on earlier, was that our pubs and restaurants are like an industry in rural Ireland in particular. Our sons and daughters, sisters, brothers, mothers.
I'm going to have to cut into you there, Bridget. Yeah. I'm afraid we are way out of time.
The restaurants, and you know, they support us basically, and they support our livelihood. It's a livelihood.
Okay. Okay. We leave it there. We're way over time. I want to apologise to Ray, but today's programme was produced by Annette Egan. Research was by Richie Byrne. On sound, we had Cara O'Hare, and our series producer was Rebecca Meehan. And stand by now for Ray.